It's Bad Movie Night. I'm Jim.
I am Josh.
I'm Tom.
Tom is back for week number two.
He's a survivor.
He is. He's brave.
That's right.
I mean, it after
takes some something.
It takes some something, serious something, to put up with the crap that we put ourselves through.
I was going to say what it takes, but I don't know if it's a compliment. So
The War in Space.
The War in Space.
That's right, from 1977.
Yeah, now let's point out, this was from December 17th.
In other words, moments after Star Wars ended its theatrical run.
What happened, right, was they came out of seeing Star Wars.
Right.
They went to Denny's, and they got a napkin, and they started writing the script.
I wonder where
they got the same napkin that they did for Humanoids from the
Deep. They flipped it over, yeah.
Okay. Where did they get the Wookiee suit?
From Barbarella's interior on her spaceship.
Barbarella's spaceship floor. Oh, my gosh.
Where we had a great discussion about that's where the Wookiee suit
that
came
is,
from.
And we were
there
wrong.
There's plenty of it. You could make two Wookiee suits.
It's where the horned Wookiee suit came from.
The greater horned Wookiee. We'll get to him.
Yes, we will. The greater horned Wookiee.
But my prediction was correct, right? Like, we saw it in the screenshots. Right.
Right.
And I'm like, there's one of these in the universe, and he's going to be in it for like 1 minute.
And he has an axe.
Yeah, he did. It was like Thundar the Barbarian. He was like Ukla the Mach with bananas on his head.
Yeah.
Is that a banana on your head, or are you Wookiee to see me?
Actually, it's two bananas, one on each side.
Oh, he could have been like a Wookiee.
That's good.
Yeah, but that would be a little creepy there.
Like, it wasn't creepy having a banana-headed Wookiee.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been weird, but whatever.
There would have been a lot more jokes being made right now.
Well, that's true.
Okay. It would have been a lot more
jokes
funny.
Would have
you
made
are
this
correct.
Lot worse it would
have been it would have been hilarious. So, what'd you think?
I didn't really think. I sort of shut my brain off, and I was like, "All right, we're gonna have some Atragon or Goten, as they called it.
Goten.
Goten means roaring heaven
in Japanese.
In the Japanese or the original Canadian."
I like that. In the Japanese. That's good.
In the space.
In the space.
Battle in the space.
Well, that was the other name of this movie, was Battle in Space 2.
Because there was one. There's a reason you've never heard of it, I think, that it got buried.
I'm surprised this one didn't get buried.
Wow. Yeah. Well, anyway, so they came like straight out of Star Wars. They started writing this movie because they're like, man, we need some kind of space epic thing. It was done by Toho.
Right.
Okay. Toho had already done a Goten movie. It was called Atragon, and that was like 1963, 65, something like that.
I think it was 65, I believe.
Okay. Well, they had like a Chinese dragon-looking Godzilla-y monster that was in it. And then it fought the Atragon, which was the undersea warship thing, which was actually the guy that dreamed it up, Shunro Oshikawa, in 1899.
He jumped up the drill boat?
Yeah, it was the Kaitei Gunkan.
The Greater Drill Boat.
Was it like the Da Vinci Greater Japan? Drill Boat.
I think he
was. No, it was, well, they said he was like really inspired by Jules Verne with the whole like Nautilus submarine and stuff. So he did his underwater battleship thing.
Little did he know, for 100 years later, it'd be used to fight Godzilla.
Yeah.
And Venus people.
Well, they weren't from Venus. They were from another planet. They just made a mistake.
Yeah, they were just like chilling in Venus.
Yeah. It was right. They were the Empire of the Galaxy.
Right, because their galaxy empire is vast, and but they were looking for a nice planet.
But he wears a plastic Roman helmet.
Yes. He must have visited Earth a few hundred thousand years ago.
You know, during the middle of it, they had the Aztec symbols on one wall.
Yeah, they were.
They had, like, the stained glass.
That whole spaceship was just,
it was a menagerie of strange.
So here's a quick, the IMDb description, just so you know what we're talking about. It's Earth is attacked by alien spacecraft from Venus, which we've already discovered it's not. But a Japanese scientist has constructed the spacecraft known as the Goten, with which he is going to save humanity.
Yep, and they did that.
And they did that. And along the way, we met lots of characters.
All of them died.
Characters are welcome. This time, they had two of their token American actors.
Yes,
because they had Jimmy, who had the steel face, who would just... Every time you saw him on camera, he had the same face, even when he was crying.
Yeah, it was blue steel.
Yeah, that's what you get when you have too much Botox.
That's why I wrote my notes, Blue Steel Jimmy. Blue steel jimmies, one single tear.
Yeah, you got the one tear like the Indian when you litter.
That's right. Because he was remembering his family being killed in New York City.
Yeah, well, they waited till he was in space, and then they were like hand him the note, like, oh, yeah, by the way, we got this telegram. Yeah.
Your family's dead.
Your family's tomorrow.
Well, the UFOs incinerated New York.
We got to talk about those UFOs.
Those UFOs were weird.
They're like, I think you called it, you said they were like, all you need was the triangle, and you had a whole pool set, a billiard set.
Yeah, it looked like a pool set.
Yeah, they were kind of like pool balls with little wings. You just
paint a couple of them black, one yellow.
Yeah, they were strange, but they were oddly reminiscent of TIE fighters.
Yes, just they
didn't have the solar panels on sides.
That's right.
Yeah,
it was very similar.
They found those in the back props too. Got the sides
probably
on, that is with the Wookiee.
Yeah, well, they got the Wookiee suit from the prototype kit,
or they went dumpster diving behind ILM, and then the other American actor, Schmidt.
Holy Schmidt. here's the thing I really loved about this: the whole Schmidt thing is when they first introduced the character. Everybody's like, Mr. Schmidt's here. Did you know Mr. Schmidt? It's like they'd never heard of a pronoun. There's no he's or, that guy.
They just like
it's always
Schmidt.
Mr. Schmidt. Yeah. Every single day it was like, Mr. Schmidt is alive. Did you know Mr. Schmidt is alive? Oh, no, Mr. Schmidt. I can't even say it so many times.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister.
It was just over and over again. Mr. Schmidt, Mr. Schmidt, Mr. Schmidt.
Well, because he was dead.
Please say he or him just once.
Mr. Schmidt.
Mr. Schmidt was dead.
He was dead.
Right.
Yes.
And then they come in, she picks up the phone, sets down the phone, she's like, oh no, Mr. Schmidt has been killed. They found his body in the mountains. And then there's a knock at the door.
And it's Mr.
Who
Schmidt.
Is it?
It's Mr. Schmidt. Schmidt. That's right. He's like, I had faked my death so that because there's people after me.
There's strange like internet stalkers that are following me. No, that's Twitter.
Mr. Schmidt was then Mr. Schmidt ended up being an alien.
Right, and he gave that away. Whenever, if you go back and watch the scene a second time, you see the reaction shot because the scientist guy is looking at him,
right.
And he pulls out because there's some smoking in the movie,
which would now make it a rated R movie.
Exactly, it's like you can have all the nudity and death and everything, but somebody lights up a cigarette,
X rated,
got an R rating.
That's right.
So, anyway, he pulls out a lighter and he's going to be a gentleman and light the other guy's cigarette for him. But the other guy sees him like do that and his eyes get big like saucers. And he's like, whoa.
What?
Yeah. And so they rap for another minute. And then he's like, well, I know that you're not really Mr. Schmidt because he was left-handed and you used the lighter in your right hand.
Right.
You are impersonating Schmidt. Schmidt is dead. He didn't use a lighter with his right hand. He was left-handed.
And then another cigarette lighter comes out because whenever the three cadets come in...
Yeah, and he throws a ninja star.
Yeah, he like fishes in his pocket.
I never knew that a lighter can knock a gun out of your hand.
Yeah.
He totally had a gun in his hand. They throw the lighter and he's like, the gun flies like 10 feet across the room.
Yeah, and then the other guy picked the gun up and shot him and he dove out the window, ran about 5 steps and then exploded.
Yeah.
What?
Man, that must have been a self-destruct mechanism.
I think, but he lost his face on the way out the window.
She's gone from suck to blow.
he lost... What was the deal with that, though? He lost his face when he jumped out the window.
When he exploded, his face blew off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had his face.
And
they
blew his face off.
Yes.
And excellent.
And they held up his face.
Yeah. What's wrong with your face?
Then you look down and it looks like that Schmidt's gone bad because they left him in the fridge too long.
Yeah.
Look out, Charlie Murphy. The Schmidt's gone bad.
Oh, Schmidt. Holy Schmidt. Oh, that one could go on all day. Schmidt. Holy Schmidt. Oh, man. You know that they're also trying to push the whole seatbelt message, I think.
Yeah. Buckle up.
Buckle up.
Buckle up, Space Ranger.
Unless you're in a Winnebago.
Yeah.
Because at the one point they get off their ship and they're riding a Winnebago. Around Venus.
That's not a we're just trying to describe it and it looked like a Winnebago.
Yeah.
It was a Winnebago.
It was totally Winnebago.
Yeah,
like even was a W
with the wing
on
the top.
Even the door. Like you
Winnebago.
Could see when they opened the door, it was that little thin Winnebago door.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the satellite dish up top's a DirecTV.
Yeah, and then they got in the thing. That's funny. They got in the thing and it had the curtains in the Winnebago. Like you could just pull them shut and the cockpit had a bunch of nonsense buttons, which every good space movie has to have, like a board with a bunch of holes drilled in it, a bunch of blinky lights.
Well, of course,
and a TV, a black and white TV from the 60s.
By the way, they were on Venus for an awesome, noble cause. They had to rescue the chick, the only chick sent to space with all these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
her leather suit. with the Wookiee.
They first said, you know, we're going into space and we're going to go to Venus and we're going to fight these guys and whatever. We got to get the Goten ready, which they were not going to finish the Goten. And the guy had an interesting quote there as well, because the guy says, oh, you have to finish the Goten. And he's like, well, I didn't finish the Goten because it was unnecessary and Earth shouldn't have anything unnecessary.
You stopped its construction in spite of the request of the United Nations. So now give me the true reasons for your decision. I don't think Goten is necessary. We should have nothing unnecessary for Earth. Of course, I agree. But if we do not finish Goten, we shall be invaded by another planet.
Yeah, well, there was the one thing, too. It wasn't a narrator so much as, like, someone says, you need to finish the Goten. And then the captain guy sits down and is like, I need to finish the Goten.
His conclusions are that the enemy bases are on Venus. He has requested Dr. Takigawa to complete Goten as soon as possible.
We will complete Goten as soon as possible.
It was like back to back. Remember that? It was
it's like a brainwash.
It was
thing,
like, you need to finish the Goten.
Yeah, it was a total Jedi mind
Goten
trick.
Holy, Snikes. Holy Schmidt.
Holy Schmidt.
May the Schmidt be with you.
Another one. There's some guy in the background waving his hand. You do not need this.
Wow. Yeah, it was good. Well, back to the belts real quick. You called them anti-gravitational seat belts.
Yes, they called them anti-gravitational belts in the movie. The problem is they look like my mother's seat belt, the seat belts from my mother's old 72 Maverick.
Oh, yeah.
They had the same button. It looks like they went to a junkyard and stripped them out.
They spent an inordinate amount of time in this movie sitting in a chair, clicking the belt. I know. And then, like, getting out of the chair, and then getting back in the chair and clicking the belt. It's like, click it or ticket in space.
I mean, maybe they're trying to...
It would be a PSA.
Maybe it was just a PSA, and we mistook it as a movie.
Yeah.
That's possible.
It's almost as bad.
What happens when you get into a Winnebago and you don't buckle up.
That's right. And
you get tossed around like a bunch of, you know...
Oh, yeah, that's where we came from to get here. So they all get in the Winnebago.
Which they drive across the Venus surface.
Right, in the, like, 500-mile-an-hour wind.
So
I'm disturbed the by the physics there.
I like too, how they drive drive that Winnebago for probably, like, 10 minutes across Venus as they're talking. I don't even remember what they were talking about. And then they get to, like, this blocked area, and they they turn on the jet engines, and they fly, like, the next 10 minutes. Hmm.
Why did they do it to begin with?
It was like, why didn't they come right out of it and fly? I mean, come on. You got your gear. I mean, you could have gotten there in five minutes.
You look at the science of it, and, you know, you got Venus. It's 90 times the gravitational force.
Right.
Okay, there's no airlocks on this thing. So basically, it would be like taking a tube of toothpaste and squeezing it with the lid on. Pretty soon, the top's going to pop. And that's what these guys in these little helmets are going to do.
Yeah, you had a nice quote. You were like, yeah, they're going to get out of that spaceship, and then they're just going to compress up into their helmet.
Yeah, Mythbusters did it.
Underwater guy. Well, then the other thing, too, is that I think Tom also pointed out with they had, like, cuffs on their pants.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't.
No seals.
They had no seals on
their pants.
Yeah, and like, gloves and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that there was any plot holes in this or anything.
Well,
they flew the Goten through a plot hole to get to Venus.
They did.
Wow.
So let's see what else was. Remember the wires holding the spaceship up?
Oh yeah.
They didn't even try to hide the wires.
Yeah, but that was the best prop ever.
We'll go ahead and say that I have my list of the coolest props are the anti-gravitational belts. Jimmy's single tier.
Yeah.
That was great cuz it was just perfect. The wires, and then the best thing of the Goten.
Yeah.
The six shooter spaceship cannon.
Heck yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They launch starfighters out of that too. And when it's not shooting like laser torpedoes or whatever the hell they were shooting.
And let us be clear here. We're not just kind of trying to say it's a metaphor for a six shooter. It literally looked like they put a six shooter.
It was a cylinder from
a cylinder. And it was shooting spaceships out of it.
Yeah.
Wow. And then later it was shooting lasers. This is an amazing technology. We need this.
Yeah. They made a freaking submarine that could fly into space and tunnel through the rock.
Yeah, that submarine, that was not the same
thing. They forgot landing gear, though.
Yes.
They belly flopped it on Venus.
Here's the other lame thing I had, which I guess later on they proved why it wasn't lame, but was when they have like a drill on the front of their spaceship, which could go through anything, but they're using lasers to chop holes in everything.
And they should have rammed it.
Why didn't they ram it? But later we found out why. It's like a weapon of some sort.
It would break the aerial depth charges.
If they would have used...
Tom, you ruined it, man. That was my favorite thing in the movie was aerial depth charges.
Why don't you go ahead and tell them?
I'm going to. brace for impact.
Holy Schmidt.
Holy Schmidt. So they're whenever they first go up, and there's like these little ping pong ball UFOs flying all around.
Cool.
Yeah. And it sounds like a bad 8-bit video game where they're all like, pew, 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 pew. So then they're like, prepare the aerial depth charges. Let me say that again. Aerial depth charges. And they look like, it looks like they're shooting pony kegs out the top of the ship.
Well, that's what they look like.
It looked like a
can of. That's what they were, I think.
Yeah, but that's what they look like is pony kegs.
And it came out.
Actual depth charges.
And it literally came out of the top of the ship with the velocity of somebody throwing it.
Yep, they were kind of lobbed.
They were kind of lobbed like
some,
up.
Some drunk in the chimney throwing kegs.
Exactly. So,
but when they blew up, it's like it looks like a Pepsi can drifting into the middle of the cluster of UFOs, and then it goes boom, and like they kill like 20 UFOs in one shot, and then it's like launch another one, okay? And the guy's got a big clicky button, you know, that he launches them with, and they like killed. Well, they used the stock footage on that too.
Oh man!
Like
wow,
not in obviously seven times. I counted it. Seven times in a row, back to back, without cutting to anything else.
I'm surprised you didn't see some sailor in a pair of dungarees in there pulling a string on the outside. That was bad.
Oh yeah. Man.
So they destroyed the heck out of the UFOs, yep. Right? And then they call up the space command and they're like, "All right, we're going to Venus." And I'm thinking, wait, what if the UFOs come back?
Well,
and you're in Venus.
Apparently, apparently they don't care about protection.
I guess
they're attack only.
They need to just leave like some kind of turret that shoots those space depth charges,
or just give them to some drunk guys on the beach.
Yeah,
just
lob they were all there. Over beaten up on the U.S. soil, so they didn't care much. See,
well, no, whenever the goat and like flew out and started nuking them, all the UFOs around the world came there to fight the ship.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Which I thought was tactically brilliant.
Maybe they were planning to fly to Venus and fight them on their turf. And hopefully keep them there,
right?
Contained.
That's a possibility.
Because Venus sort of was like a vacation wonderland.
Oh yeah, so sulfuric gas and carbon dioxide. That's fun.
Okay, here's another dumbass thing that happened in this movie. They're flying in space, flying to Venus,
right?
And they run into the wreckage of the space station.
Oh my gosh! This was the biggest. I'll let you talk, but this is, I swear, the biggest plot hole in the movie.
I'm proud of you, and I'm going to let you finish.
This is the biggest plot hole in the movie.
This was the biggest plot hole of all time.
This is the plot hole they flew the goat in through.
Okay, so they get up there, and there's like a chunk of a space station, you know, that's left from the initial attack that opened the movie. And then the guy gets his spacesuit on, which, by the way, the spacesuit.
Full of stars.
Yes. The spacesuits, like, came right off the rack from 2001. They're road cone orange. They got the same damn helmet.
Stanley Kubrick's going, where the hell did that other suit go? I had a spare.
They stole at least five of them because they're. Well, anyway, so the guy like spacewalks over to the wreckage of the thing, and they're like, well, it's all like ripped apart, you know, and dudes can't be alive. And they're like, well, we can give him a good burial. So they go over there, and laying right like 5 feet from where the guy comes in is the corpse of the guy, right? And he's just laying there. So they bring him back, and he's on a stretcher. And then
you called it, too. You're like, zombie moment.
Yeah, space zombie. This is going to be trouble, right?
Right.
So they go to the space station. They get the corpse of the guy. They bring him back. And then everybody leaves the girl, who's the only girl on the spaceship. And girls are trouble magnets in these kind of movies.
Usually.
They leave her alone with the corpse.
To cart into the galley.
Or
kitchen or.
Well, they're going to put him in the freezer or something. I don't
exactly.
Know.
So, next to the ice cream.
So. Anyways. terrible. I just had a vivid mental image of him like standing there holding some like cookies and cream in the fridge.
Come out, up, pry one arm out on the cookies fingers. And cream, the other one on the thin mint.
So, ladies, one at a time. Oh, there's only one of you.
Well, when they said she was going to be the only, you know, when he's talking to the other astronaut dudes or whatever you would call them, aquanaut. Submariner space cadet guys.
Space mariners.
So he's talking to them, and his daughter walks in.
It is funny, though, how, like, her dad, like, who's the general or whatever, he's like, you're going on the mission. And all the guys are like, hey, yeah.
That's
woo.
That's where we're going. Because she walks in the room while he's talking to them and giving them the briefing.
Right.
And then he says, well, she's going too, not just because she's my daughter, or not because she's my daughter, but because
she's a professional scientist.
She's a professional scientist, yes.
She's a technician. She's a good technician, and you need her.
And all the guys were like, woohoo!
That's right.
She's hot. And they were like, they were damn near fist bumping. Like,
June will go with us. Not because she's my daughter, but because she's a good technician. Be nice to her.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh, with your pleasure.
You sure?
But then, okay, so she is with the corpse alone. She goes to open up the door into the kitchen or whatever. She turns around, and the corpse is standing there holding a gun, you know, and she's like, what? Yeah. And then the guys come in. He grabs her. Somehow there's a UFO that's docked to the bottom of the ship.
Right.
They step through a door, and they're in the UFO and fly off. And then they're like, damn, he kidnapped her. And then the other guy gets his spacesuit on, like, I'm going to go chasing after him.
What is he going to do, swim there? Moonwalk to the boat?
Yeah.
Oh, let's get to the plot hole here. I mean, they're assuming they're assuming that this journey to space, they're going to stop.
Right. Why would you leave an agent posing as a corpse on a piece of debris
floating in space?
Okay, space is big.
Oh, it's huge.
And the distance from Earth to Venus is big.
That's right.
And then you put a guy on a grain of sand out there in the ocean of space, and you're like, yeah, because they're going to stop here.
Not to mention the trajectory between Earth and Venus is changed because they left after the aliens left.
Yeah, about 2 days.
Like 2 days later. They're like on the other side of the sun by now.
Actually, it was longer than that.
Not on the other side.
They still had to finish it up. They had still had to paint the ship.
That's right.
They still had to put the primer on. The Bondo on the side because the gravel fell on it.
That's right. You know?
Yeah. So then they see the enemy warship, and the commander, what was it, Emperor of the Universe?
Emperor of the Galaxies.
Yeah.
No, Emperor of the Empire of the Galaxy.
Yes. Has a long, rambling speech about how we should submit or die.
And that's my proposal.
Yeah. He's like,
proposition.
He's like, we're going to kill you unless you submit, in which case we're going to kill you.
Well, no, then he said, like, if he didn't, he would destroy the galaxy. And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you're in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Are you going to, like, you know, leave and then blow it up?
It's like, we're here. We're going to take your planet. And if you don't surrender, we're going to destroy your planet.
The galaxy, yeah.
And,
yeah. I think you're going to play that clip. It's worth listening to.
Yeah, I'm playing it because I can't even make sense of it. We'll let the audience make sense of that. Because
sounds good.
If they can, they should be here instead of us.
Hey, they get a cigar if they can.
We need to get like one of those phone lines and have people call in and explain it to us.
Yes.
I am Helth, the Supreme Commander of the Empire of Galaxies.
Roy, look at that!
We are 22,000 light years from the solar system, the third planet of star called Yomi, of the spherical star cluster which you Earthlings call Messi 13. That's where we all live. Our world is far from here, but our empire already has exploited a method to navigate in space freely. We can go all over at will the immensity of the galactic system.
If you have such a greatly advanced civilization, why do you have to come such a long way to our solar system?
Our planet is getting very old. Every star is destined to vanish, and our planet has reached that final stage of a star's life. We must move to another planet. We want a planet that resembles our own. That's the third planet of the sun, Earth. Takigawa, if you think you can counterattack us, Goten, the dream of Earthlings, you will be destroyed. That's our warning. If you resist, we shall destroy all the galaxy system, and there will be no place for you. Earthlings, believe me, you should accept my proposition, or I swear you'll be destroyed, all of you.
And each week we'll have
have one of your children call in and explain it, because I think that they would grasp it. They'd be like, well, duh, Dad.
Yeah, they would. They'd be like, you're an idiot. Duh. Gosh.
Wait, so they, So they get the ultimatum that made no sense, and then decide to push on to Venus anyway. So then there's the alien ship is down on Venus, and it's got like a force field over it.
Yep.
And they decide to fight a mission. Well, that's when you see the Winnebago. They get in there and they run up and take pictures of it and get their ass kicked a little bit. And then
they come running back. They didn't come running back. They go out there. They drive for like 10 hours. They finally get to the point where they can't drive, and they fly for another hour, and they get to the dome.
Yeah, why didn't they just fly from the get-go?
But then the freaking general or captain comes on. He's like, all right, we need you back. It was like, you just got there.
Yeah,
do something.
Come on,
it's like
Dad,
it's about 30 seconds later, and they're parked.
Yeah. It took 20
minutes. Valet's parked in the car.
It took them 20 minutes to get out there and like 30 seconds to get back.
Well, they had the 3,000-mile wind at their back on the way back.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
That's what it was.
So the they analyze the photographs,
right?
And they find the weakness, which is a small trench in
small plot hole. Sorry.
Wait a minute.
It was a duct.
Wait a minute.
This sounds familiar.
Yes, a snub-nosed fighter could throw a proton torpedo in the no. Okay, so it was a vent in the spaceship. That just dawned on me. I didn't.
I didn't pick that up.
I didn't pick that up either. But you're right. Another one.
My God.
Wow.
So anyway,
man, Lucasfilm needs to have a lawsuit.
I don't think they'd have got any money out of this movie. They'd have just got the debt.
My mother. So, you know, once
they would have They would have had rights to Godzilla.
My mother once said, "You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip." So
you wouldn't want Lucas to handle Godzilla,
no?
Because you see what Matthew Broderick did to it. Can you imagine if Lucas got a hold of that bad boy? Wow.
There'd be Jar Jarzilla.
Such an Aiden in there.
Jar Jarzilla.
He'd just have big floppy ears.
Me's gonna take over New York!
Oh, holy Schmidt.
Holy crap. Oh, man.
So, anyway, they discover an air vent on the ship, which happens to be right in the very tip of the nose of the ship, where there's like, they have like a big, I don't know if it's like a lion head or whatever the heck that prow on the boat was.
Oh, the one with the gem.
Yeah, the one that had a gem at the beginning.
Right.
And then it was just like an open vent, because I think they sent the gem off for cleaning or something.
It's a cherry pit. They got stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have the fighters launch out of the six-shooter tube and assault the force field. And it's like they're trying to shoot the top off the mountain so that it falls on the ship and breaks the force field, which happens. But all the fighter pilots die,
right?
Which is everybody. Whenever they get in there, then he has to rescue the girl from the Wookiee.
Yes. Let's stop here, and let's talk about the Wookiee.
Oh,
and more importantly, let's talk about the girl.
Oh,
the
yes.
Leather hot pants.
Yes.
Those weren't hot.
Predating Leia in the bikini, in the slave bikini. We have prisoner Japanese chick predating slave Leia.
By many years.
Yes.
6 years?
Being held by a Wookiee with banana ears.
Yeah.
And that banana horns. Straight out of an Adam and Eve costume.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a pretty hot little leather suit that she
had. That would have got an R rating back then.
Because we thought she would look pretty good in, like, you know, just a space suit.
Tight pants.
Yeah, she made a space suit look rocking, and then it's like, it can't get any better than that. Whoa! And you get to see this like right before the Emperor goes on his rant,
right?
About, you know, so yeah, they've got the Wookiee, and he's holding this big like Conan axe,
right?
And he's got the girl like on a chain, and she doesn't seem to really be that upset about it.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to mind.
She was kind of working.
True. Wow, she did not care that much.
No,
I mean, she kind of pulled a couple times. But...
Yeah, well, that was just all to keep it fun, I think. But we know a little something about her now that just wasn't obvious before.
We also know a little something about Wookiees that we didn't know before.
She was the Wookiee's cookie.
That's what I'm thinking.
Wow.
Is that bananas on your head, or are you just Wookiee to see me? Wow.
Wow.
So anyway, they have to rescue her from that.
Which they do. And they come in and like all of them die, except for one.
Everybody but one guy gets killed.
Well, they come up through the manhole, and then they have to kill the elf people.
Right, they have a laser fight with the guards. Well, that was kind of weird. He had like curly toed, pointy shoes.
Yep,
and they wore pillowcases on their head.
It was like Scarecrow and an elf put together.
Yeah,
it was kind of creepy.
It was
actually no, it was Scarecrow mixed with a character from Robin Hood, like with the tights, and then an elf for the shoes,
and some kind of like terrorist. yes. from space or something.
Space terrorist elf.
Yeah.
You know when they attacked the Wookiee?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one guy left, and he's got a gun, he's got a laser, and the Wookiee has an axe.
The axe is magnetic, and it attracts laser fire.
I don't think so. Pointing at the freaking axe. Really? Dude, he was like laying on his back, aiming at the axe, and I'm sitting there thinking, dude, shoot the Wookiee.
Yeah, shoot the Wookiee, dude.
Well, because you didn't even mention how they got out of the jail cell. They just leave the key right there.
Yeah, who puts the keypad inside the cell?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that's just like, that's almost as bad as seeing the key hanging on a rack across the road, and there's, like, a broom sitting right there so they can stick a piece of gum on it.
Yeah, because she has a flashback, because when she was chained up to the Wookiee in the throne room,
yep.
the Emperor, because that was his job, that's all he did in the whole movie was, they
play
had,
his
like,
little
the
Simon
six,
key.
Yeah, yeah, they had, like, six lights there. It looked like a Simon game.
It was.
And he would just be like, boop, boop. On the thing, and then stuff would happen, right?
And because she's a professional scientist,
she
followed the pattern.
She was very observant and watched. And then when they get in the cell, she's like, wait, I think I know the password. And then she's like, look at that keypad on the wall. Boop, boop, boop,
it's
boop.
A
six-digit and the door pops
combination.
Open.
There were similar buttons in the leader's room used for the computers. There must be some patterns of figure. If they use a system of computation based on the number six, the door can be opened.
Hooray! We've opened the door. We're free. Kill the Wookiee.
Yes, shoot the Wookiee.
Oh, like, yeah. No, but he throws a knife at him.
A knife that has the glow.
Yeah, it was like a lightsaber that was like 3 inches long.
Oh, that's
long.
Right. Yeah, it was a lightsaber.
Well, it looked like a normal knife until you activate it.
It was, it was a knife saber.
Kind of a vibro knife blade. Saber. Anyways, they break out of the cell, and then the Wookiee attacks, and he shoots the axe to the point where the axe is glowing like cherry red.
Right.
And it's like, he could have killed the Wookiee 500 times over. So then he throws his gun in frustration, like, I can't destroy the axe, so I'll throw my gun at the Wookiee.
and the Wookiee chops
the gun in half.
Yep.
And then while he's distracted with doing that, the guy pulls his glowy blue combat knife out and flings it into the monkey's chest. Yeah, and
right.
But the knife, you know, that was an impressive little piece of equipment.
He
cut through some chainmail link fence to get
the grill off the air thing.
You could use that for Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, you could cut a turkey.
You could cut a turkey.
Beautiful.
I mean, wow.
Kitchen utensil.
I think that was prop of the movie
That's prop of the movie.
The little glowy blue survival
knife. Quick, somebody call the dude from
Billy Mays here. Billy Mays here for the glowy Bowie.
The glowy Bowie. So the end scene in this movie is pretty awesome too. The drill that we've not seen used at all up until this point.
It was kind of cool on the end of the submarine thing, like spinning.
So the captain's like, you know what? I have to finish it. I'm going to destroy them. And he drops down under, like, the deck. Right. And it's basically the drill is a ship of its own.
Mm.
And he flies that into the spaceship.
Right.
And then it blows up,
mm-hmm.
killing the Emperor of the Galaxy. Meanwhile, they cut back to the daughter who's crying because her daddy is killing himself for the cause.
She cried for him about as much as when her boyfriend died.
Yeah, she didn't cry at all for her boyfriend.
Maybe a little bit
more for her dad. She's like, Dad. All right, I'm done.
Yeah. I think really the biggest crybaby in the movie was Jimmy with his single tear.
Jimmy's single tear.
And really, his tear should have been credited separately as an actor because it was completely separate from his character.
The tear had more emotion than he did. So then he flies through, he crashes in the throne room. The Emperor's like, oh, Schmidt. And his ship blows up.
Well, it blew up, and then there was some secondary explosions.
Yeah.
And then it falls into the volcano.
And then Venus blows up.
Right, because you see, like, all the volcanoes around Venus go up.
Right, which I'm interested in the fact that they basically just destroyed Venus for no cause.
Like, no, they destroyed it for a very good reason.
Why?
Because Star Wars ended with the Death Star blowing up.
Oh, they had to copy Star Wars yet again.
But at least it didn't have, like, that shockwave ring come off of it.
It was basically like a smudge on the film.
That. Oh, wait, no, that's whenever he went back and did the special edition, wasn't
it?
It didn't, no.
But even his version of
Is this going to get a special edition?
God, no. I hope so.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, is even his original version of the Death Star explosion was better than this, because this looked like someone smudged the film with, like, their thumb, like, with some, like, whipped cream. It was like, it looked like someone just smudged on the film, and then that was it. And then Venus was gone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then of course they roll the credit with all the John Philip Sousa I think he actually was a music director of this.
Yeah, the music was very patriotic.
Yes. You had the sousaphone in the background. I mean, that was definitely a tuba.
Yeah, there was some stuff that sounded like a German oompa band.
Yeah.
Whenever they were doing it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it.
And then there was some of that Star Wars-y, like, I'm a space opera music.
Yeah. Oh, man. The music was pretty bad, because it sounded like it was all under-recorded, like, on one track.
Yes.
Like, in the back room of a gas Winnebago. Station. back of a Winnebago.
Parked behind the 7-Eleven.
That Winnebago they used in the movie is where they also recorded the audio.
Under a bridge.
Some of the favorite quotes, I mean, you had a couple of them, and I had a couple of them, too. I'm pretty sure everybody did.
You had
the Japanese redneck halfway through that says, give up, y'all gonna die.
Yeah. I already said my favorite quote was when, like, it wasn't a narrator, but someone's like, you need to finish the goat. And then he's like, I need to finish the goat. And it was just like back to me.
These are not the droids no, that's that other movie. Wow.
So how about this? We did the alternate titles last week. I like that.
Yeah.
So here's my two. And then I'll let you guys do any if you have any. So we have Star Wars, No Hope.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much says it all right there.
Yeah. And then the second one is Men Are From Mars, Wookiees Are From Venus. Alternate titles for this film.
The
death count was pretty high in this one. You know, you had, and there were some cheap deaths. You had Jimmy that just decided that he wasn't going to fly anymore and rammed his plane right into the mountain.
Yeah, he did totally do the
other one. Well, that's how boyfriend. They got the shield down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy so Kamikaze.
He at least went out as a hero. The boyfriend's like just flying away and he's
daydreaming about his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's talking to her on the radio like, hey, yeah, we won and stuff. And then a UFO comes up and goes pew, 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 and pow. And he just.
But you look
gone.
At his face. I mean, he was stoned or he was thinking about what he was going to do later.
Well, he died happy. Now, they had that whole arrangement, though, right? Because her ex-boyfriend
was the only one that lived.
Right, but he had flown off. And then when those two guys were, like, sitting in the locker room or whatever, putting their spacesuits on, and he turns to him very foreshadowingly and is like, if I die on this mission and you live, you go ahead and take care of June.
The ex-boyfriend's like, sure, not a problem.
Yep, I will do that for you.
Yep.
Because I'm that type
of friend. Because he seemed a little disappointed that she had hooked up in his absence.
Anyway. Yeah, but of course, he's trying to, the boyfriend's like, well, you know, and I know the reason why you went to the United States, because you wanted to give me June.
Yeah, wait, he's what? Like, yeah, he's like, you wanted to.
He's like, have you seen her?
Yeah,
have you seen your girlfriend ever?
Dude, I'm telling you, I did not give her to
you,
okay?
She was in a freaking lab jacket and she was hot.
Yeah.
She could have been wearing, like.
She could have been wearing the Wookiee suit.
She could have been wearing the Wookiee suit.
She could have made that Wookiee suit work. Wow.
Oh, man. So that's about this. That's about all we have for this week.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. So what are we watching next?
Let's do RoboJocks.
All right.
I want to follow that by asking, what does God need with a starship? Star Trek V.
What does God.
The best Trek?
Wow. Oh, wow. You mean covering Star Trek on this show?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
Star Trek V.
That, wow. I've got chills.
Yeah, because, well, it's
a real movie.
You know 5, right?
Yeah.
Where they go.
Yeah. What does God need with a spaceship?
Yeah. Cyborg.
Cyborg.
He's with God.
Wow. That's impressive. I'll have to be there for that one.
It's sort of a litmus test for you to see if you actually show up knowing ahead of time that we're going to do that movie.
That we're going
to
rip it apart.
Because you're intimately familiar with it. And I just want to see if you can actually subject
that will be like our
that.
That will be like our first A-quality movie.
No.
I wouldn't call it that.
Compared to this crap? Compared to whatever the hell we watched?
All Star Trek 5 had was a bigger budget, man.
Yeah, well, that's A-quality. That's all you need to be considered A is having money. Seriously.
Really?
Have you seen Transformers 2?
Uh-oh.
That's an A movie, and it sucks balls, literally.
Yes. Enemy scrotum.
So, it was an A movie, so Star Trek will be our first A movie. All right, so until next time, I'm Josh, and it's J.N. Josh on Twitter.
And I'm Azram, and it's Azram on Twitter.
And I'm Tom, Kahar the Mad on Twitter.
And you can make fun of us by using the hashtag BadMovieNight.
Mm-hmm. And BadMoviePodcast.com.
That
is the website. And hey, we even got a Facebook page.
We do.
Which is Bad Movie Night
fan page.
Facebook. I guess if you just put all that in Google.
Yeah. All right. So next time, Robot Jocks. Until then,
holy Schmidt! Holy Schmidt!
Holy Schmidt!
Dr. Schmidt is dead. Schmidt was killed.
Well, who's that? Dr. Schmidt! Dr. Schmidt? It's impossible.
Dr. Schmidt has just arrived.
Dr. Schmidt is here. Dr. Schmidt, Mr. Matsusa of the Space Bureau told me that you had been killed.
I asked him to spread the news.
Are you sure it was Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt, you are impersonating Schmidt. Schmidt is dead. He didn't use a lighter with his right hand. He was left-handed.